Just go solo.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
You might know that Astrid Clements, your solo travel advisor, is a lover of New Orleans. But did you know that Astrid also advocates New Orleans as a top solo travel destination? On this episode of Solo Travel Talk, Astrid is going to give you some New Orleans highlights that might not be the usual places you hear about when considering New Orleans travel. And to make it even more fun, we're going by neighborhood. That's the way New Orleans is laid out. We're going to tour New Orleans by neighborhood. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien, and wow, get ready for a fabulous tour that is inspired and is sure to make you want to go off the beaten path in New Orleans.
Let's talk about New Orleans, maybe some of the off-the-beaten-path recommendations for solo travelers, specifically for a New Orleans visit.
Okay, well, you know, one of the things you have to think about when you come to New Orleans, before I get into this, there's so many recommendations.
I mean,
I'm going to try to do some highlight things and think about things that for people who this is their first time or maybe their third or fourth time that I still think that are good, that even if you could go more, you do go over and over. But what I've done is I've broken this up into areas, because when you come to New Orleans, you really should gear your activities to areas, because if not, you're going to be wasting time, and there's so many things you can do in a particular area. You ought to just stay in that area and do everything you want to do in that area and then move to the next area, okay? So we'll start in the French Quarter where it all started. The first place I think that some people miss, and they shouldn't miss, is the French Market. Now, the French Market used to be much more authentic than it is now, but it still is pretty authentic. I mean, you've got a lot of local vendors who have food outlets where you can buy things like seasoned grilled corn on the cob, on stick. I mean, every time I go to the French Market, I get one of these corn cob things. They're so good.
I cannot imagine you eating one of those.
I know, but they're so good. They're sweet with like Tony Sachery's on it, grilled in foil. I mean, and it's so juicy. It has a little butter on it. I mean, I'm telling you. And then they have some ladies, Italian ladies that bake these fabulous Italian cookies there every day, fresh. I know. And you've got these seafood vendors, these muffaladas. I mean, let me tell you something. The food there is great, and you can sit outside because the market is open air, but it's in a building per se, but it's all open air with arches. And they, even at the beginning of it or close to it, they have music playing.
Yeah.
So it's a fun place. It's right there on the river. And they also have a lot of artisans there that make jewelry. There's one particular guy. I forgot his name. He's been there for like 20 years. He was an architect. And then he decided he was going to make jewelry out of plastic things. I mean, I'm going to wear some of his Mardi Gras pins. He makes the most unusual plastic earrings and pins and bracelets. I love them. I mean, he's got so much soul and artistic creativity in them. I mean, they're just beautiful. And when you wear them, if anybody's ever been down there and know him, they say, oh, yeah, that's his work. I mean, I think he eventually will be, a book will be written about him because he's a character. But he's really good at this. So you have people like him. You have people who, make soap and all these other kinds of voodoo dolls. Oh my gosh. We have people who make their own voodoo dolls and, you know, people who collect these go down there. So, and then of course you've got the cheaper kind of your typical, you know, flea market kind of stuff that's there. And some of it is, New Orleans focus. It is like souvenir-like. And then some of it is just, you know, cheap suitcases and that kind of thing. But still, it's fun for a little while. And all along that area, you have, when you walk along that area to the French Market, you've got different boutiques and, like I said, restaurants with music And it's a really nice area. At the beginning of it, it actually kind of starts at Jackson Square. But you'll have Café du Mans. So you could start there and then walk through the boutiques and then get to the French Market. So that's a place that people a lot of times don't go because they think, I don't know if I want to do that. But it's I love it. I go there all the time, you know, for that corn. Okay. Then if you want to explore voodoo. Now, voodoo, you know, a lot of people think, oh my God, that's an evil, you know, I don't want to go anywhere dark or anything like that. And you know, I do respect anybody's opinion like that. But this is, it's part of the early culture of New Orleans. And it was part of the spiritual kind of magic, powerful energy that was in New Orleans. And it truly was, it wasn't fully practiced by the white Anglo-Saxon community. It was, you know, mostly brought from the African Americans that were, you know, brought to New Orleans, specifically kind of from the Haiti area. But it kind of took a different change in New Orleans. And it became more, I don't want to say mainstream, but people did not feel like it was, they were going to be, because New Orleans is very Catholic. They didn't feel like if they also accepted some of the voodoo spiritual concepts that they were going to be, they were messing their spiritual life up. You see what I'm saying? I mean, New Orleans is a complicated place. You know, like I said, they've got a lot of intrigue going on down. And there's a lot of earthy power there. So voodoo is something that you should go in to me, even if you're not geared towards it, just to learn about it. Just like any subject, like, you know, astronomy or something. I mean, you never go to anywhere but Earth, but just to understand it. You see what I'm saying? But the way they have, first of all, the New Orleans Historic Voodoo Museum at 724 Dumain in the French Quarter. And it's very good. It's comprehensive. And then also you've got Marie Laveau, her House of Voodoo at 741. Now, this is not the original Marie Laveau. It's her daughter's house. Mm. But it is still, you know, I mean, it's got all kinds of artifacts in there. They also have a priestess in there that if you need any kind of spells or whatever. Oh, no, they got all kinds of things going on in there. But it's all interesting. And you have to see how it intertwined in the culture because it's there. It is still there. So that, I think, you know, you wanted me to give you some different things?
Yeah.
That's different.
That's different.
Okay. Now, if you want to drink at a historic bar, there are a couple of really historic bars in New Orleans that have got a vibe that you cannot get anywhere else. Too many things have gone down in those places over alcohol. And they still have, I mean, they draw people in like a magnet, so like a honing pigeon or something. But the first one is Jean Lafitte's old Absinthe house. And, you know, Jean Lafitte was the pirate, him and his brother. And they hung out in the bayous and the swamps around New Orleans, Barataria Bay and everything. And they were a force to contend with. And this is, this particular bar, well, the U.S. was after Jean Lafitte. They wanted to get him out of New Orleans because he was messing up, you know, I guess.
He's a pirate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they decided, the British wanted to come in and take us over at that time. So Andrew Jackson, General Andrew Jackson, he decided he was going to team up with Jean Lafitte. Well, they met at this Absinthe house, and they cut a deal. They were going to work together. Jean Lafitte would not be prosecuted in anything. He would be left alone if his pirates would help the American army in Jackson defeat the British in the War of 1812, of which they did. So you see, New Orleans is different. Yeah. I mean, they use whatever they need to get the job done.
even if it's absent, they use it.
Yeah. So that happened there. And people still love this old bar on Bourbon Street. It's 240 Bourbon Street. Then you've got Lafitte's blacksmith shop. Now, what it's famous for is this is the oldest structure in the United States standing. And let me tell you, I don't know how it's standing because it's leaning like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but it's a bar. And, it was built like in 1722, somewhere in that time. But it's supposedly that's where he kept his supplies. In everything is where his illegal smuggling activities were headquartered in this building. So I don't think it was ever a blacksmith shop, but it's an it place to go. And that's pretty astounding that the oldest building in America, which is a bar now, is still so popular. And I mean, don't expect it to be. It is ratty in there, but it is. It's still cool. I mean, it's really got a mystique. That's what I'm trying to share. Then the next place is not only drink; it has food to it, and it's probably my favorite restaurant in the French Quarter. Isn't the Napoleon House? It's right on the corner of Chartres, and I think it's Bienville. Yeah, Bienville. But I love this place. It's got the exposed concrete walls and all these old pictures and the old bar itself and the cane back chairs there's a word for those chairs. They're very French.
Yeah. And they're like little bistro chairs, brasserie kind of chairs.
Yes, but they're wood.
Yeah.
With cane seats. And then outside they have a beautiful courtyard with a fountain. It's an intimate place. The food is very New Orleans. I mean, their avocado shrimp stuffed salad is the avocado was stuffed with shrimp. Oh, God. I have that every time with a glass of wine and that French bread. But it's so wonderful to go and sit in that courtyard. It is. It's so New Orleans. I love it. And then they had to die for shrimp remoulade. But everything there is good. Their po' boys are good. I mean, that is just a great place to go for authentic New Orleans in the French Quarter. Don't miss the Napoleon House. That is really another special place. Then you've got Two Jacks Restaurant, and it's actually spelled kind of weird. T-U-J-A-C-Q-E-S, but we call it Two Jacks. Another po' boy place. I mean, if you want a good po' boy with lettuce coming out, shredded lettuce and ham or roast beef with, the gravy. I mean, oh, God. They can make the best po' boys in the world. I know Paris has great, ham and cheese and all kinds, but we can give them a run for their money. But not only the po' boys, but they have this is where the New Orleans drink, which was created here at this restaurant called the Grasshopper. And it was really kind of a ladies' drink. You know, a long time ago, they had like the abstinence or the hard drinking. And then, women kind of they had more frou-frou drinks. So this Grasshopper was kind of like that. But it's made of cream de mint, cream de cacao, and heavy cream shaked and strained. If you like that kind of thing, try it out. I mean, I'll never forget when I was young and I didn't really drink, but I knew all about the Grasshopper. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have a Grasshopper. And all you need is one. You don't need, you probably won't want two, but you might. But it was created right here at Two Jacks. So it's special. Then, of course, Galatoire's Friday lunch in the French Quarter. This is where all of New Orleans, the top businessmen, the lawyers, the movers, the shakers, the ladies at lunch, they go and they get started at like 11 and they're there until 4. And they eat and they drink and they party down. Everyone knows the waiters. I mean, the locals have their own special waiters. They have waiters that have worked there for 40 years. I mean, New Galatoire is like the essence of New Orleans, especially on Friday. And it's not a real fancy place. It has that French, those bistro chairs too. It has kind of a French bistro feel. But oh my God, it is history that still people love it. So, you know, if you're there, especially on Friday, try to go. One thing, no reservations. Now you can make reservations. They have next door, they have kind of a modern, like, steak-oriented place. That's not the real Galatoire. You want the real Creole food Galatoire. With the Goûte and the Oyster Rockefeller. This is a real old New Orleans food. But that you can't make a reservation here. You have to stand in line. And sometimes you do stand in line quite long. So be prepared for that. It's worth it. You know, the locals, they send their runners down to stand in the line for them. They have their own system. But that's, you know, that's a place that try to go to. Then, of course, you have Brennan's. Now, Brennan's was just renovated. It's beautiful. I just went there for my birthday celebration. It is your classic courtyard New Orleans restaurant. They have a fabulous Sunday brunch, jazz brunch. You can eat out in the beautiful courtyard. Their courtyard is big. And they also have restaurants or rooms around the courtyard. Or you can go upstairs. It is exquisite. This was an old, huge mansion in the French Quarter. So this is a very special place in the French Quarter. And they have their own special dishes like Crepe Suzette or the Bananas Foster, which they flame up right in front of you. Then they also have their milk punch, which at my birthday dinner, I ordered milk punch just for old time's sake, because that was another thing when I was young. When my husband first took me to New Orleans, I said, well, I'm going to have a milk punch. And when I saw it on the menu a couple of weeks ago, I thought, I'm going to have this milk punch. It was delicious.
It's so good. I love
it. And it's just so apropos when you're in this setting. You know, you wouldn't drink a milk punch in New York City. You'd want a martini. But in here, you think, oh, milk punch sounds really good. So, and then I did mention Café Du Monde, which is right there on the river by Jackson Square for beignets and breakfast or, you know, really wee hours, you know, pick-me-up food. But that's that in Café au Lait. I mean, it's a tourist spot, unfortunately, but it really is very, very New Orleans. They have beignet shops all over. So, but this is the place to go. Hotels. Unique hotels in this area is the Hotel Monleon. Very, very historic, but beautiful hotel still. Wonderful carousel bar. I mean, the carousel bar is one of it bars in New Orleans, has been for, I don't know how many, 150 years. I mean, it actually has a carousel type of function in it where your chair goes all the way around your bar stool if you sit at the bar and you can see everybody. And they always have music in there, local singers and stuff. It's just a really, it's a great place to go.
I love the carousel bar so much. Shout out to Mr. Corey, my bartender there.
Well, you see, I mean, the carousel bar has just got it.
Yeah,
okay?
It really does.
But then you have the Bienville House, which is very classic French Quarter type of building with the courtyard and the rooms around it. And it's very beautiful. So that's one. Two, more recent hotels, but still historic, is the Royal Sonesta and the Bourbon Orleans. They're bigger hotels, but they are still kind of old world-like hotels. So those four are what I suggest. Then you move to the Central Business District, which we call the CBD, and the Warehouse District, where the Warehouse District really is kind of a phenomenon. This place was really full of dilapidated warehouses that were on the other side of Canal Street. Like, Canal Street goes down the middle of the heart of downtown. On one side, you've got the French Quarter, you've got Faubourg Marigny, you've got the Bywater, you've got Treme. Then on the other side, of Canal, you have the CBD, the Warehouse District, you've got Garden District, Uptown, Mid-City, that kind of thing. But the bottom line is, on the other side of Canal Street, all of these warehouses, I mean, they were really still being in use. Well, they got all flooded out with Katrina. A lot of things, you know, and some of them were really dilapidated. Well, this area got so much money came into it to restore it. So they've got great restaurants there. New, you know, condominiums have been built there. Art galleries. I mean, it is a thriving area of revitalization. I mean, people who are from New Orleans can't believe it, the Warehouse District is cool, but it has become that way. So the CBD kind of blends into the Warehouse District. So I'm going to talk about both of those. The one of the older structures that, you know, was an it hangout, hotel and bar, was the Roosevelt Hotel. The Roosevelt Hotel is one of those grand dame kind of hotels, but it was where the politicians, whether they were, you know, international, national, or especially Louisiana, Huey Long, he could have lived there. He loved it. He came down there all the time, but this is a place where celebrities and, you know, the politicians hung out. I mean, it was like a real watering hole and a real place for people to go meet, cut deals, have fun, etc. Well, at the heart of it was the Sazerac Bar. And let me tell you, that is another bar like the Carousel that has so many novels could be written about what has occurred and true stories that happened or hatched in the Sazerac or the Carousel Bar. But the Sazerac is a very elegant Art Deco bar, which it's kind of shocking because there's very little Art Deco in New Orleans. But so that it was very contemporary when that was done a long time ago. But at the Sazerac Bar was the place where the first mixed drink was created. And can you guess what that was?
I have one guess. A Sazerac.
Yes. But this was created in 1850, and it was a blend of cognac and local bitters by a French Quarter pharmacist by the name of Antoine Peychaud, and that's such an old French New Orleans name. But this drink was the rage. I mean, this was a real man's drink. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of a little bit medicinal, but also, you know, alcoholic. And boy, after a big, heavy New Orleans meal, they'd get into that. And man, their brains would start cooking up all kinds of chicanery. But this place is still very elegant. The Sazerac is still enjoyed by all. And it's a special place. Yeah. As well as in the some people call it the Roosevelt. The old timers call it the Roosevelt. You know, more young people call it the Roosevelt. You've got a John Besh restaurant in there. Beautiful little a cafe that they have. It, you know, they have kind of a blending now of modern and old. The rooms have been updated wonderfully. It's very affordable in terms of luxury. super location right there close to Canal Street. So you can walk right to the French Quarter. You can walk in the warehouse district. You can catch a streetcar at St. Charles Avenue because it's right there. So it's a really good hotel. So, and you know, it has that Sazerac bar in there. So consider that. That really is unique, special, historic, but still cool. And that's hard to do.
That combination, that's hard to pull off and make it work.
Yeah, and I keep going back to that theme, but that's kind of New Orleans.
Yeah.
And you will enjoy it. You won't think it's passé. Okay, then art galleries. That's one thing that the Warehouse District has kind of really developed into, is an area for art galleries, auction houses, along Julia Street, especially around Magazine. They have lots of very nice art galleries. And it's fun to go in and out of those galleries, even if you don't collect art. Then along Magazine, right in that area, you've got a wonderful, and I forgot to write this place down, but my daughter used to live right there on the corner of Magazine and Julia in a condo. And there was a glass blowing shop.
I love that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I lust over those wine glasses all the time. They put all kinds of different animals and symbols on them, and they blow them from glass, and they're just to die for. So right in that area is a lot of creative activity going on, as well as on Magazine Street. A little bit further south, you've got the Contemporary Art Museum, which is a great contemporary art museum. You've got the Ogden Fine Art or Southern Fine Art Museum. I mean, as good as it gets. Then, right there on the next corner is the World War II Museum. And even if you don't like war or history, or you could care less, you just don't want to go there because it's either too upsetting or you just don't like that kind of thing, it's very moving. I mean, I went, and I don't really like war stuff, but I did go when I was in France to do some of the D-Day things. And my father had been in World War II, and, you know, I wanted to understand a little bit more about it, but even though I don't like it. But I did, and it really was. I mean, it affected me the whole day. Same thing that happened to me when I went to the World War II D-Day Museum in New Orleans. Everybody should really seriously consider taking some time to do it, because you will value all your blessings so much more. And people gave their lives for our freedom, and they gave their lives so we could have a life. The life that we wanted. And I'm telling you, I mean, it brings almost tears to my eyes talking about it, because, you know, my father survived, but he could have, I mean, his best friend died, you know. I mean, it's just one of those things that really makes you step back and say, well, I'm going to be a good person. I'm not going to be complaining all the time, you know.
That World War II Museum in New Orleans is, the word that comes to mind is immersive. It's like they drop you into a real life story and carry you through. It's an experience. That museum achieved something that I had never really had before. It's a wonderful, wonderful museum.
Oh, yeah. And actually, Stephen Ambrose, the seed idea for the whole thing. So when you talk about this emotive and immersive, it is because of kind of how it all, the idea came about.
They particularly give a lot of attention to just the every soldier. There's a lot of focus on just the average person who was fighting this war, which I wasn't really familiar with. I mean, it was not just focused on sort of the known figures, the, you know, the top generals or anything like that. It really was about the average person and the effect on the average citizen, like even in Europe. It was very different approach.
Yes, it is very powerful.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend that, even if you don't like history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. As in terms of food in this area, you've got Emeralds, You've got Merrill's. You've got Magazine Kitchen. Well, Emeralds and Merrill's. Let me back up. Emerald, you know, most people who are foodies know anything about food. I mean, he's celebrity chef, you know, the first one, really, with his shows and everything. And Merrill's is actually named after his daughter. And it's a little bit more fusion kind of food than his original Emeralds, which is right there in the Warehouse District. But those are two really good. You've got Magazine Kitchen, which is fabulous for pho and Vietnamese food. When I tell you it is good, that's another restaurant I'm always saying to my daughter, let's go have pho. Yeah, it's just delicious. And then you've also got a place called Mother's. Now, Mother's is where you get soul food extraordinaire. Red beans and rice, po' boys, gumbo, crawfish etouffee, you know, gravy coming out everywhere. I mean, biscuits. I mean, it is like if you need a mother or you need food that will
comfort your soul.
Yeah, I mean, the brownies are humongous. Oh, the pie, pieces of pie, everything is like you're just going, oh, thank you. This food, and it's not expensive. So if that's what you want. In fact, one of the times I was in New Orleans, I was in Mother's, that I had this couple in front of me, and they were reading the menu, and they said, could you help us with, what do you think, is this etouffee better or whatever? And I said, well, you know, what really are you in the mood for? And they said, well, we don't know. We're from Seattle, and we came to New Orleans just to eat at all these different restaurants, and this is the first one we've come to. We don't know what to do. But it's all good at Mother's. Yeah. So, okay. Then you also have the Polo Lounge, which this is in the Windsor Court Hotel. And the Windsor Court used to be the most, well, it was the most highly rated hotel in the United States for a long time. But this is a very, very shishy watering hole in the CBD. So if you want that experience, you don't want the Sazerac or whatever, the Polo Lounge is really nice too because they always have music in there. And it's just one of those places where you can do a lot of people watching. So, okay. Then one more thing with eating is that you could take the Natchez Jazz dinner cruise down the Mississippi on the steamboat, the Natchez steamboat. It's a little touristy with the kaleidoscope, you know, pipes and all that. But the Mississippi, you know, when you get on the Mississippi, you just start feeling what made this place here. And so it's nice. You know, don't think it's gourmet, but you get the jazz, you get the river, you know, you get some drinking, of course. And it's nice. It's worth doing it if you have enough time. So I just wanted to throw that in. Then, if you want to explore Mardi Gras a little bit more, they have a museum that's called Mardi Gras World. And it's actually where the Mardi Gras floats are still, most of them are made. It's owned by Blaine Kern Studios. But what he's done is he's taken this float factory and also incorporated a museum kind of essence to it. So you can come and see costumes, you can see how the floats are made, you can eat king cake, you know, the mask. You get the history or the feel of how Mardi Gras is created every year, and the craftsmanship and the artistry that goes into it, and just the whole creative experience of this. And, you know, some people like to do that. I've done it, and I thought it was interesting. I really did, and I'm from here. But, you know, that might not be that important to you, but I throw this out because you wanted unique things. And there's no other place in the United States that Bill's Mardi Gras floats. Well, there are two others in New Orleans, but this is the big one. And last, shopping. You know, a lot of people, I'm one of them, love to shop. So when I come, I always want to know where's that good boutique? Where's the, you know, where's the cool things? Well, in this particular area, you've got Saks Fifth Avenue, which really is really one of the best Saks Fifth Avenues. Like I said, New Orleans ladies like to dress. Plus, we have a lot of tourist traffic here, whether it's convention-oriented, festival-oriented, or basically people just want to come to New Orleans. And women like to shop, and this is a great Saks. I mean, it is wonderful. And if you want really nice clothes, ask for Jim Baker. He is my guy that helps me all the time.
Wow.
And he, you know, I'm a sales shopper. I'll confess to that. And he's always called me. He says, now, this is the time you come in. If you come in now, you'll get the best, but it's going to be on sale. But the bottom line, Jim is very friendly. He has been there for I don't know how long. He has a great taste, and he will help you either put together an outfit or just welcome you to New Orleans, you know, get you, show you where to go in Saks, what this, that, and the other. And I push in that little plug for him because he's a great guy.
Yeah, wow. Tell him we sent you.
Well, the thing about it is, he's older. I think he's like 73. He could have retired
Forever ago. 10 years ago.
But he loves to work. He loves helping women. He loves clothes. He just loves life. So, Saks is a really good Saks in New Orleans. And then right there on the riverfront, on the other side of Canal, you have the Riverwalk, which is wonderful. The Riverwalk is nothing but an outlet place with like really good stores off Fifth. I don't know all the stores, but they're really good there. So, if you want to save some money, just go across the street. So those are two good shopping areas. You know, in the French Quarter, you got all kinds of boutiques, and you'll see that. Next, you got to ride a streetcar. If you come to New Orleans, don't not ride a streetcar. We've got several now. The classic line is from Canal Street down St. Charles Avenue, where you see the gorgeous mansions of old. And these are just humongous, beautiful cotton planter, really wealthy people's mansions along St. Charles Avenue. You go past Tulane and Loyola University, Audubon Park. It's really special.
That's the ride. That's definitely the
ride.
Yeah,
that's the ride. But then you've also got the one that goes along the river. And now you have one that's actually being completed on Esplanade, which is on the far west side of the French Quarter, which will bring it into the Bywater and everything. That's kind of all part of this infrastructure revitalization that's going on. But ride the streetcar. But the first streetcar you want to take into, like you said, is into the Garden District in Uptown, because these mansions are beautiful. So in the way I think that you should experience these mansions is take a walking tour. They've got a lot of walking tours. I like the historic New Orleans tours. They do a really good job of a lot of tidbits of information. Like there's a Anne Rice walking tour, which is really cool because she lived right there in the Garden District in a beautiful mansion. And they intertwine her novels and all of her creativity, and it's fascinating. I mean, really and truly, Anne Rice only could have hatched in New Orleans. Seriously. I mean, she's brilliant. She is brilliant in such a eccentric and different way. She's a phenomenon, you know. But it's got that kind of energy in New Orleans that, you know, people who are geared to thinking in a kind of a genius way, it can happen in New Orleans. It really can, because it's just so life-giving. Okay, then got to go talk about food again. You're in Louisiana, and New Orleans is the center of it. Commanders in the Garden District on Washington. I mean, you can't get more New Orleans than Commanders. And they have wonderful, like, three-course lunches that are very affordable. And during the weekday, you get 25-cent martinis. And on the on Saturday, you have the jazz brunch where they have the jazz bands in there. Let me tell you something. This here again is a historic restaurant that is still cool. All people go to it, locals as well as tourists. It's just wonderful. And, you know, you, it will almost make you say, I'm moving to New Orleans. Because it's just such nice time.
It really is.
I mean, you talk about affordable luxury. Go have lunch at Commander's. It's really
the nice. Service alone. The service alone.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And the beautiful decor. I mean, in New Orleans, that's another thing. The interiors in New Orleans, there's a special, they're kind of aristocratic in a warm way. I don't know how to describe it. It's like you're comfortable around all of this beautiful, you know, accessories and tables and chairs. There's a comfort in the way that they do their interiors. That's also old world, but modern. I mean, and creative. I mean, you'll see a lot of things like antique French chairs with some kind of fabric that has a painted scene on it, like a, you know, like a painted canvas, all kinds of different things.
Commander's makes me think that's a place definitely a reservation would come in handy. Make a reservation. And also, you were mentioning how the New Orleans ladies like to dress. That's
going to be in my tips.
Oh, okay. So never mind. That's a teaser for what's coming up later.
Yeah, right. I'm going to tell you, you know,
some do's and don'ts. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, sorry. You're on notice, everybody.
Then get back on that streetcar and go down to, and I don't have the address, but the Columns, it's basically a hotel, but it's an old big mansion that has, I think, 20 rooms, but they have a very popular bar that people love to go to. You can also eat there, and they have a big veranda that lots of people go and have drinks, a kind of a courtyard garden in the front, streetcars going down the street. In fact, when I launched Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, my website, I had my launch party there at the Columns.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, it's just got so much history and class, and there's a vibe there. There's a vibe there. Drinks are great, and not super expensive. You'll always meet people there that, you know, you probably will not forget. It's just one of those places that. It's an it place, and it you should go to it if you're in the Garden District. That's my point. If you want a drink, or even if you want something to eat. As far as a hotel, you've got the old Pontchartrain Hotel, which was very also historic. It was the jewel of the Garden District Hotel about 40, 50 years ago, or maybe even longer than that. But they recently renovated. It's beautiful. They've redone the famous Caribbean Room, which is a restaurant with the Mile High Pie, I think they call it. But the interiors of this hotel are very beautiful. And the bar, the restaurant, and the cafe where you have great eggs and bacon and biscuits there. Oh my gosh, this is fabulous. This is a really nice place to stay in the Garden District, right there on St. Charles Avenue. You can get the streetcar, which will take you back up to Canal Street, right at the foot of the French Quarter. Wonderful location, very affordable. I think the room rates are something like $215 a night or something like that. It's beautiful. It's a very, if you like historic hotels that have been redone and redone well, this is one of them. So those are two. Then as far as shopping, oh my God, you've got Magazine Street. And let me tell you something, Magazine Street, it's a long street, but it is filled, I mean, when I tell you filled, with boutiques and restaurants and just, you know, well, of course, spas and things like that. But it is a street that you can still walk down. And I mean, oh, it is great. So that's very unique, you know, because in the United States, there are few streets that are still like that they used to be, you know, where you pull your car up in front and park it diagonally or whatever. I mean, it still does that on Magazine Street. And you just walk the street. You can spend the whole day only on one side.
That, I always tell people about Magazine Street because I don't know that a lot of people know about it, but it is absolutely my favorite. And I'll just give a look, if I can sneak a Catherine tip in here. Magazine Street, they have like a business association and they do a lot on social media, and there's some great, you can follow them. It's really, it's a wonderful view of New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Magazine Street is so cool.
I love it.
Yeah, even if you don't want to shop, the window shopping is great.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then two really special stores, and maybe a third one, but two of the real special ones I like, is a jewelry store called Mignon Faget. She is a native from New Orleans. Oh, my God. She has created fabulous jewelry collections for the last 40 years. She is a phenomenon in herself. She is so coveted by people who live in New Orleans, ladies. You know, I mean, the men are always giving their significant other or wives a piece of Mignon Faget jewelry because it's like a museum piece. I mean, she has created so many different collections, whether it's based on things of nature in our area or symbols or whatever has hit her creativeness. And she does it in all kinds of different metals and pearls and stones. She is wonderful. And her price points are so good. They really are affordable, and they get up to a little bit of an expense, but nothing that is prohibitive. And they're like museum pieces. They really are collectors. And on all of her pieces, she has her signature on it somewhere. I mean, here again, that shows you kind of the classiness of New Orleans. Somebody like a Mignon Faget could, create there, live there, and been doing it over 40 something years and continue to do it. I mean, I think she's almost 80 years old now. Oh, yeah, she's older. You know, she is something else. So, you know, Magazine Street, Mignon Faget, make sure that you try to at least go in the store, even if you're not interested in jewelry. She also does scarves. She has some beautiful scarves and housewares. She's got some crystal. I think some plates now. Oh, very wonderful baby collection of baby jewelry. Oh, yeah, infant and children jewelry. Oh, it is so cool. I mean, they start them out like in New Orleans, dressing fancy, I'm telling you. You know, and it's not fancy like in a off-putting way. It's fancy in a really, I think, perfect, elegant way. So that's a great place. I can't say enough about Mignon Faget. In fact, I want to go buy something right now thinking about it. Then you've got Nola Couture, which I love Nola Couture. This is a group of young people who've kind of taken, oh, I don't want to say an Hermes approach, but they make beautiful silk ties and scarves, and they do really cool t-shirts with silk pockets on them. I mean, they've got it going on at Nola Couture. They have a whole line for dog accessories, and they do hats when they put their silk like twillies on them. But all of the designs in the silk are based on something from New Orleans. I mean, they can make, you know, a crawfish look like a stallion head. I'm telling you, they just do it so cool. So, you know, men love it. They love the neckties and the bow ties, and the women, you know, like the scarves and everything. I love Nola Couture. Every time I go in there, I cannot not buy something. They are forever doing something that is, you know, classic, but still very cool. So don't miss Nola Couture. Then there's another shop that's really kind of a little bit, I don't want to say souvenirish, but the merchandise is not very expensive at all. But she is a phenomenon, a rage in New Orleans called Flirty Girl. Flirty Girl, I mean, she has made some of the most T-shirts with slogans on them that, I mean, you know, that like she could win a Nobel Prize for.
They fit perfectly. They fit New Orleans perfectly.
Oh, yeah. And she's got everything from cups to anything you need. Flirty girl is doing it. And it, she has a wonderful story. She was a single mom with a couple of kids, and she didn't really, I don't know if she didn't have a degree. I don't know her full story, but she just decided, I got to survive. I've got to make it. I've got to make enough money to raise my kids. I mean, she's getting it on. She does all kinds of videos for New Orleans. I mean, she is the spirit of New Orleans in a young body. I'm telling you, she's something else, Florida girl. So, you know, patronize her.
Yeah. Well, I actually heard her speak at a women's business conference, and she used her tax refund one year to start her business. She got a tax refund, and she just went gangbusters for these selling T-shirts, and she's built a $1 million business from it. She is a force.
Yeah, she's so delightful. I mean, like I said, she's New Orleans personified. She's real. Okay, then you go further. If you dead end on the end of magazine, you'll run right into Ottoman Park. And Ottoman Park is a gorgeous place if you like to walk. You know, there is a fabulous zoo there, and it's not just for children. I mean, it's really a zoological habitat that, you know, lots of federal money has gone in there. They have tremendous philanthropic money drive initiatives to do all. I mean, it is a gorgeous place. And Ottoman Park has these gorgeous old oaks. I mean, some of the oldest oaks in Louisiana have been preserved in Ottoman Park. They even have, I think, a horse stable where you can rent and ride horses. I mean, it's an old time, like, you know, real parks were a long time ago, where you really could do anything. Well, one of the unique things, besides it's beautiful and you can do some of those things, is after Katrina, a group had two labyrinths built there. Now, I don't know if everybody's familiar with what a labyrinth is and the purpose of it and what you do when you do a labyrinth, etc. But these are circles that originally were created that you walk along a path that is kind of like a walking prayer. It's a meditation kind of meditation and movement. And, you know, it's been 2000 BC in Crete, and you've seen them in Ireland and places. There's the old classic seven route. They built one of those, and then they built the classic labyrinth from the Chartres Cathedral that's so famous in France after Katrina for people to go and to walk to basically release, I don't know totally how to, it's a meditative, like a healing, it's a healing walk. And I bring this up because, well, first of all, it's very unique. And I personally have done a few labyrinth walks. I had read about a woman in San Francisco, a very wealthy woman, who got into the value of meditation and walking the labyrinth. She was an Episcopalian, which I am, and she built a traveling or a mobile labyrinth. And she had it originally in San Francisco. I think she built a permanent one there. Well, that was my first one. I had read about it. I thought, you know, that's kind of interesting. I do a lot of different things. So when I went to San Francisco, I decided to walk the labyrinth. And my father had passed away unexpectedly in 1979 in Oakland, California. And so I was close to where he passed away. And I did this. And, you know, I didn't expect to have any kind of reaction. You know, I'm one of these people, I'm going to go and I'm going to have an experience, but I'm not expecting any experience. Oh my God. This labyrinth started out a well of emotional release. To the point where before I left, I felt like I had to go to the hospital where he died of a massive heart attack, just to go to where he was when he left, because I was so close to my dad. And so it was very sad when I lost him. I was only 28. But that was, I can't describe it. It was something extremely deep. It's like, you know, I was reconnecting to him where he was there. I know that sounds real bizarre, but there was something that I felt personally moved to do. And it came from walking that labyrinth. Then the labyrinth came to Baton Rouge, and it came to my church, St. James Episcopal. I walked that labyrinth. I mean, I just started involuntarily crying. It's just the weirdest thing that has happened to me when I did it. I've done it in Chartres, in France. I didn't have that kind of reaction. But every time I do it, I mean, it lets all kinds of deep, subconscious something rolling around. So I don't know if any of the listeners would want to do it or they would have that kind of reaction. I just share it with you because I did. I thought it was very healing. Yeah. And this is the purpose of it, is to symbolize the healing of New Orleans. And they did it for the New Orleans residents. But if you do want to walk a labyrinth or you do like to meditate, they have two in New Orleans, and they're supposed to be really good. I haven't done them yet. I didn't know they were there. And so I'm going to do them here within the next month or two because I do like that labyrinth. I actually have like a finger labyrinth, and sometimes I do that. Yeah, and it you know, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's in history. The labyrinth had a certain spiritual meaning and power.
Significance, yeah.
It did. So I'm no mystic by any means, but I like to keep, you know, all these options going. You know, I like to be inspired and do the best I can. So, okay, food and drink in the Garden District in Uptown. We have got Shia.
I was hoping you would talk about Shia.
Shia, well, it won the best restaurant in 2017, but it is Israeli food. Shia is enough to make me want to get in my car right now and go drive to Shia tonight. The food is absolutely so good. I mean, we have a phrase in Louisiana, if it's so good, it'll make you want to slap your mama. This food, they should have won the best restaurant prize. It's just out of this world. Great place. Then you've got two Italian restaurants, originally opened by Sicilian families, real Italian families that came to New Orleans. One is Pascal Manali's, and the other one is Mandina's. And this is really another New Orleans spot where, you know, the locals go, deals are done, the food is so good. If you like barbecue shrimp, this is where it was created. I mean, these huge shrimp with this barbecue sauce that the secret sauces they put on it. You don't know where it comes. Then you get that French bread and you're lapping it up and you're just saying, oh, well, if I gain 5 pounds, I don't care. Oh, wow. I'm just going to eat till I'm sick. It's so good. And then veal parmesan. And, you know, it's a very Italian place, but it's got a lot of that warm soul in it. So those are also two different restaurants that some people don't think about, but they are very New Orleans and very, very loved. So I wanted to share those. Then two other, I know this is going long, but New Orleans is so wonderful. I have to be like this with New Orleans. Two other areas are the Faubourg Marigny and Treme. And both of these areas have had a lot of the filming done in it because, you know, Well, a lot of them had homes that were so devastated after Katrina that they went in and got cheap and redid, but the architecture is beautiful in there. Treme is where a lot of the music and in the African community was, lower Ninth Ward, but vibrant, very vibrant. And Treme and Faubourg Marigny is on the other side of Esplanade, which is at the foot of the French Quarter, going towards the river, which I don't know if it's north, south, east, west, but it's towards the river. And it is very much like the beginnings of the Garden District, but the homes are gorgeous, but they're just not mansions. So it's a neighborhood of beautiful older wooden homes and, you know, iron fences and everything, but it's not these gargantuan mansions that you see in the Garden District. So it's got good bones in that area. Well, there's a particular street called Frenchman Street that since Katrina has just really developed it, and it's basically four blocks that have live music, bars, restaurants, nightclubs, and lots of art galleries. And it's amazing. This street is hopping from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. And this art market, this Frenchman Street art market, it stays open to 1 a.m. So if you want to buy art, arts and crafts, don't worry. You can do it at 1 o'clock in the morning. New Orleans on Frenchman Street. But it is, any concierge at any hotel will tell a visitor, you have to go to Frenchman Street. Because Frenchman Street really was like Bourbon Street was a long time ago, till it got inundated with the strip clubs, the daiquiri shops, and you know, basically the souvenir shops. I hadn't told you too much about Bourbon Street because the only thing there is, like I said, Jean Lafitte's thing and the voodoo, and there are a couple of, but it's just, I don't know, it's just much more touristy. But yeah. Frenchman Street, that's the way Bourbon Street used to be. Yeah. So it's definitely worth going there. The Spotted Calf and Three Muses are two particular drinking and eating spots that people like to go to. So put Frenchman Street on your list. Then the last one is in Treme, and it is called the Black Street Cultural Museum. Now, this museum was done after Katrina, and I had gone to convention in New Orleans on a housing convention, and they had a New Orleans tour, and I thought, you know, I don't need to go on a New Orleans tour. I know everything about New Orleans, but I just decided I'm going to do it anyway, because you never know, you might learn something. Well, did I learn something? They just opened up this Backstreet Cultural Museum, which is the world's most comprehensive collection of African American culture, especially in how it evolved in New Orleans. So it is so cool. It gets into all the social and pleasure clubs, the processional traditions, the mask making, second line, how they cook, you know, the different clubs like the Baby Dolls and the Skull and Bones Gang, anything and everything that is unique to their cultural traditions is documented here. And they have a lot of like performances. The Mardi Gras Indians will come out in their regalia and they'll do that, you know, Alan Toussaint, da, 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 you know, all that stuff. And they'll get, and everybody, you know, I mean, Treme is nothing but a song down there. You walk those streets. You're not surprised Louis Armstrong, you know, hatched out of this area, and Trombone Shorty and all of those. I mean, they just got it in their feet. All of them can do that. They can just pick up an instrument and do it and make something happen. And you just feel the soul. So it's worth it. I loved it. I came back, I thought, now that was so cool, and I was completely shocked. So that's a different thing to do. The last couple of things in this next thing, these next two things, basically are outside of New Orleans. But if you have the time and you have the curiosity, take a swamp tour. I'm telling you, the swamp tours are very interesting, and they have them either in airboats or kayaking. They're all kinds of formats, and you're going to see alligators, you're going to see wild birds, you're going to see all kinds of stuff, and you're going to see snakes. So if you don't like snakes, maybe this isn't for you. But it's beautiful. I've done several of them, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But do not do it in the summertime. You will sweat so much that you'll think, oh, my God, this is like, oh, I can't believe. So, but they're interesting. If you like nature and everything, you know, especially if you want to kayak, it's gorgeous. The last one that's outside, per se, of New Orleans are the plantation tours. And they have some wonderful half-a-day and full-day plantation tours along the Mississippi River where they take you to some of the most beautiful plantations in the South. And they're worth it because they have, you know, they have not only beautiful interiors and exteriors and gardens, but they all have shops and cafes to eat in. And it's a delightful day. So, and then I'll end with the specialty tours. Now, I'm not a big tour person, but I do like to take specialty tours. And in New Orleans, they're fabulous. Whether they're food tours or like they have the food history tour, the cocktail history tour, which this is done by Dr. Gumbo Tours. But they have garden tours, walking tours, all kinds of stuff. Think about doing that because will enjoy yourself, but they're really very interesting, and they're things that you won't know unless you go on those tours. So those are my tips. And I know I had a lot, but I have so many more. It's ridiculous. I just tried to pick out, if I was a tourist for the first time, maybe the second time, what are some of the things that I needed to do to really do New Orleans properly and kind of get a feel for it. Then when you come back the third, fourth, fifth move to New Orleans time, then you'll dig really deep. And it's all good.
I love it because you really gave a lot of things that are not on the typical list. So good job, Astrid.
Well, I love New Orleans. In fact, I have a blogger with my website, Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, who specifically does blogs on New Orleans because I feel so strongly that New Orleans is the best destination for solo travelers in the United States because it's walkable. I mean, you know, Charleston is very nice. I have to give it to them. But New Orleans, Charleston, it's a little stiffer than New Orleans. New Orleans just has more of Europe in it. It has more multi-layers in it. And like I said, it's easy to get around, you know, and it's affordable. There's so much to do. You're going to have a good time. You'll have a good time just walking down the street. You don't even have to do anything. Just being there, you just get it. So I have this blogger that is just blogging New Orleans, everything. So go on my website, astrodtravel.com. If you want to know stuff about New Orleans, we are building a library of all the cool things that are unique to do in New Orleans.
Hey, since you're already going to be on AstridTravel.com for all the great New Orleans posts, why don't you grab a copy of Astrid's Packing List? This is a handy list that is going to make your next packing, possibly anticipating your trip to New Orleans, it's going to make your packing just a little bit easier. It's well organized. It's a thorough list. All you have to do is give us your email and you can download the packing list right away. This podcast is available on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, really any of the finer places that podcasts can be found, including just going to Astrid's website, astridtravel.com. There's a whole section just for the podcast. As Astrid says, always please subscribe to the show. Why? Because it actually helps other solo travelers find this valuable information. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm going to take a moment now and look at my calendar and see when is the next time I can get myself to New Orleans. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or her solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com.